Well, the Museum of the Bible opens today in Washington, D.C. It is just two blocks from the National Mall, but it's unlike any of the other history or cultural museums nearby. For one, it's privately funded, and its chairman is the CEO of Hobby Lobby, the craft store that took the issue of religious freedom to the Supreme Court in 2014. WAMU's Michaela LaFrac paid a visit.
A few days before the grand opening, construction workers are busy putting the finishing touches on the new building. Right outside, D.C. native Shakita Carter is
curious. Don't have any expectations.
Carter works next door to the Bible Museum. She looks up at its six-story brick facade and asks a question I've been hearing a lot recently.
What does it have? On the top, it looks like it has a glass-enclosed terrace. I'm curious as to what that is, or is it a cafeteria? But I think it's going to be something fabulous.
And fabulous is a pretty good way to describe the $500 million building. For starters, the front doors are 40-foot-tall bronze recreations of Gutenberg Bible pages. Right inside, the lobby's ceiling is covered in digital projections of Bible images.
One of our goals has really to set up immersive environments where people can put themselves in the center of the story.
That's Seth Pollinger, the museum's director of content. He's taking me on a tour, and for a museum that's about an ancient text, there are a lot of modern elements. The museum's designers say it's the most technologically advanced museum. One of the first exhibit pieces we look at is a big video screen that's showing a slow-moving abstract film. It's kind of like looking inside a kaleidoscope.
So this is a dynamic display of contemporary art. He was kind of inspired by the Tree of Life from the Garden of Eden.
It's a little trippy.
It is.
And that's just the beginning. There are handheld digital guides that you can program what exhibits to see based on how long you want to be there. They'll even direct you away from crowded areas. There's a recreation of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, that you can walk through, and a virtual reality tour of buildings here in D.C. that have scripture on them. Pollinger says the goal is to make people feel connected in new ways to this ancient text.
You see these things all around you, and you get the visitor gets the impression, boy, the Bible has really been involved in so many aspects of life.
The exhibits cover a lot of history, too, like the Bible's metamorphosis from an oral to a written tradition. There are displays on medieval Bibles, the abolition movement, civil rights. But a lot of topics are noticeably absent. There's nothing on the Crusades, the Inquisition, or abortion and gay rights. That doesn't surprise Neil Harris, a historian and museum expert.
I think most people expect that museums will represent a disinterested, objective, well-informed, scholarly approach to whatever it is that is being put on display.
Harris says some of his colleagues in the museum scholar community are wary of the new Bible Museum, but it's not because it's about Christianity.
It's not that religion does not enter into American museums, it's that this museum may be presenting it from a specific angle.
That specific angle is evangelicalism. The museum's chairman and main backer, Steve Green, is the CEO of the craft store chain Hobby Lobby. He's also an evangelical and a proponent of conservative causes. In 2014, Hobby Lobby went to the Supreme Court over whether it had to provide free contraception to employees. The court ruled that it did not. And scholars are still questioning whether parts of Green's collection are authentic. Again, here's Neil Harris, the museum expert.
Museums represent authority. How the Museum of the Bible will fit into this community remains to be seen. It's going to be rather interesting.
You can see an example of the traditional ways museums in the nation's capital cover religion if you visit the Smithsonian Museum of American History. Peter Manceau is the curator of an exhibit there on religion in early America.
We try to follow the path set by the curators that have come before us and see the way potentially controversial moments have been captured through material culture previously.
The Smithsonian exhibit is much less flashy than the Museum of the Bibles. There are artifacts like Jefferson's Bible in glass cases with plaques that give historical context. For the kids, Manceau points to a display of a wooden Noah's Ark playset from the 1800s.
Features about 20 or so hand-carved animals, 2x2, of course.
Back over at the Bible Museum, there's an arcade where you can use a slingshot to shoot a rock through Goliath's head, like David did. It's a different approach. And Seth Pollinger of the Bible Museum says he wants to be very clear. There isn't one right way to interpret the Bible. He says the staff took pains to collaborate with scholars of all different denominations. They've even amassed the world's largest collection of Torah scrolls, the Holy Jewish text.
If this museum is going to fit within this community and be part of this community, then we have to also discuss those issues. So certainly haven't gotten there yet, but I hope we can continue to make progress.
As the museum welcomes its first crop of visitors this weekend, people will be watching to see how a museum devoted to religion fares in Washington, D.C., just blocks from the White House and the U.S. Capitol. For Here and Now, I'm Michaela LaFrac in Washington.